Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Tuesday, March 1st, 2022. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I'd like to remind everyone RBN is listener supported. Please donate whatever is manageable. And remember, free speech cannot exist without being funded by we, the people. You can use PayPal on the RBN website donate page. You can call our RBN staff to donate via credit or debit card. Call in to donate at 800-724-2719, extension 3. Or you can mail in your donation, cash, check, money order, payable to RBN. Mailing address 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And we greatly appreciate it, folks. Please help ensure that RBN continues broadcasting this uncensored content well into the future. And I do have a couple gentlemen with me. Today, I have Stephen Douglas Weitener here, regular co-host. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Richard. Howdy, Paul.
And now I'd like to introduce as my additional co-host for today, folks, the man, the myth, the legend, backed by popular demand, recently released from quarantine, PFC.
That's private first class from California, reporting for duty. You know, Richard, I got to tell you, I listened to a couple of my previous appearances, I think the last two, and then also a couple of my calls to other shows, and they were just a little bit low energy. You know, I think it was because of COVID. I had COVID big time, as you well know. And so I decided to do something about it. Now, I was already double vax, and of course, everybody's been talking about a booster, and I got a booster, but it didn't really do much for me. So I decided to spice up the next couple of boosters. You know, I remember when Anthony Fauci said we got to, you know, wear two masks, it's better than one. I said, well, you know, why just get one booster? If I needed two vaccines before, one booster and maybe even two's not enough. So I am triple boostered, and the last couple of boosters, I had them spice it up a little bit with some Fireball whiskey and a little Jagermeister. And I've been drinking coffee for the last 4 hours here, getting ready for the show. And let's solve some problems here. We're just talking about stuff all the time. But as you heard, we have a homeless problem in this country, right? We've all seen the videos, and perhaps in the communities that we live in, there's evidence of the homelessness everywhere. And, I've been thinking about this, and so this is ongoing, right, decade after decade after decade. But it didn't used to really be a problem back in the 60s and 70s and probably maybe into the early 80s, too. I'm sure Stephen has memories of this. And so I'm thinking about this, and then I hit upon it. And I said, you know what? This is easy. You know how those people, especially the liberals and the people that are always trying to convince us that we need to, you know, empathize with the homeless and feel bad for them, they always say, homelessness is not a crime. And I thought to myself, that's the problem. We need to make it a crime. And so here's what I'm thinking about this, right? We also need to make the penalties for shoplifting more severe. Now, as you well know, a lot of homeless, not all, but a lot of homeless commit petty crimes such as shoplifting. So if we make the penalty for shoplifting, like, say, 10 years in prison, and we also make homelessness a crime, so therefore you can't really be homeless because it's criminal, then we eliminate the problem. So I think that that one is solved. We can quibble about the penalties, but I think for now we're on the right path if we just pursue that. So just quickly before we get into any other topics, let's cover this so-called Ukraine, you know, Russian war invasion, whatever we want to call it. So the Jew Putin, who's been photographed wearing a skull cap with rabbis before, is calling, you know, the Ukrainians Nazis. Okay, and of course the Jewish regime in Ukraine Zelensky, who's a Jew, of course, and he's been photographed with a Jew skull cap with rabbis before, is saying that, oh, the Russians are Nazis, they're fascists. So basically we've got some Jews calling each other Nazis, and the Nazis apparently are just sitting on the sideline watching what happens. So, you know, I'm thinking to myself, what is this we're really looking at here? And to me, it just seems it's more Jew theater, just like we've always seen. And you take a look at what some of the things that has been said and done, like, for example, we've seen and heard that Zelensky and his government has been handing out AK-47s to civilians, right? You know, to help defend, you know, the motherland, the Ukraine. And all I could think of was, you know, that's a good way to get a lot of civilians killed. Because let's face it, you know, if you're a regular civilian and you don't have an AK-47 and you haven't been told by your government to go and, quote, defend your homeland, you're probably going to lay low. You're probably going to stay out of the way. You're probably going to maybe even try to get the heck out of there, you know, when the crap hits the fan blade. But if you got an AK-47 in your hand and your government is trying to fill you with a bunch of patriotism, well, you're not a trained soldier. And the Russians are not going to have much choice but to shoot you. So in my opinion, since most of the soldiers in the Ukraine and the soldiers in Russia are not Jewish, they're going to be Gentiles, you know, apparently the formula for freedom and democracy all these, well, a century or two at least, the formula for freedom and democracy seems to be a lot of Gentile bodies filled with bullets and shrapnel. So I'm thinking to myself, this is just another way to get a bunch of Gentiles killed, a bunch of white Ukrainians and white Russians killed in furtherance of massive profits for, you know, weapons manufacturers on both sides, and a big propaganda coup because you got all kinds of people here, like on Fox News, saying, oh, you know, we need to stand with the Ukrainians. You know, they're freedom lovers. You know, we need to support them because they're fighting, you know, the evil tyranny of the Russians. Meanwhile, all the Russians are trying to do is to take care of a nuisance, which we put there, not we, but our Jewish-controlled government put in power to basically, you know, cause trouble and irritate the Russians. So, in my opinion, I think a lot of what's going on there is theater, and it's none of our business, and we need to stay the hell out of it, unless we want to do a solution. And I think the solution would be this. We need to carry placards in front of the various Russian embassies across the country. I'm sure every town near you's got a Russian embassy, and we need to protest. And on the placards, we should have stuff like Putin, hands off Ukraine, and have like pictures of Putin with a mustache and a swastika, even though the actual picture should be a Jewish skull cap, photograph with a bunch of rabbis, because all these people, Putin, Zelensky, Biden, Trump, Trudeau, they've all been photographed. Ron DeSantis, for example, you know, has been photographed at the Wailing Wall with the skull cap on. Trump has been photographed at the Wailing Wall with his Jewish skull cap on. But all these people have been photographed shaking hands with Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum. So I think we need to turn the TVs off and just listen through a public broadcasting, and astute observers like Richard Carey and Stephen Douglas Whitener and the maniac Paul from California on three boosters, a pot of coffee, and I think I'm running out of steam here. You got something you want to respond to? Go ahead.
Hey, that was great, Paul. Let me ask you a quick question. Have you noticed any superpowers since those multiple boosters? It sounded like you were getting ready to become an X-Man there, but I couldn't
agree.
Well,
I got to tell you, I don't need my reading glasses anymore.
Cool. Well, I couldn't agree more with what you said there. I mean, I think about every point there that I concur with there. And just like Putin said, he was going to denazify Ukraine. You know, it's like, yeah, he's going to come kick out the Jewish president and cabinet. That's going to I think he meant he was going to de-Ashkenazify it, maybe, but not completely, because like you said, Putin has been with Chabad. I've seen pictures of him surrounded by Chabad people, and you know, it's like we need to not take a side on this in this thing and stop the fighting. I mean, stop the madness. This is stupid. This is just blood and death for profit and power and control, of course. But we thought that COVID and the lockdowns, and that was like the last battle they had planned. But now they have more. They want to keep pushing this control grid more and more for it in any aspect of your life. I think that the things kind of blend together too when you consider that the Canadian truckers, people who donated to them, their bank accounts are frozen because they donated to quote unquote domestic terrorism. Now, can you imagine if they use the same technology for somebody who donates to independent media or someone who supports Russia? I think that they'll use those excuses of censorship to ramp up all the censorship they can with this. What do you think, Richard?
Well, Stephen, I'm curious to hear more of your comparison with Paul. Paul mentioned how you're much closer to his age than I am. Mm-hmm. You were born in 1960, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, you lived through much of the Cold War, mm-hmm. and you heard a lot about World War II. Your father was a vet from World War II. I don't know. What kind of feedback do you have as far as just how things have progressed? I mean, you've been around most of the time since World War II. My father was born during World War II, actually.
I remember hearing in my crib something about, quote unquote, brush wars, and I later figured out that this was a radio broadcast that was during the Cuban Missile Crisis, and this guy kept talking about brush wars, and what we've had are a lot of brush wars ever since then, and all of them are run by the same people for profits and power. I mean, it's ridiculous. There's the outline of what we've done. This guy John Perkins, who wrote The Confessions of an Economic Hitman, he outlined the pattern that the banks, the IMF and NSA and Western power have used over the years to target countries. And basically they have a wad of cash in one hand and a pistol in the other, and they say, we'll give you these loans. Of course, that's going to bankrupt their country and make them have to sell their oil at super cheap prices, or they'll have to give up their public utilities or their prisons or their schools to these corporations like Bechtel and Halliburton. And if they don't follow through, take the loan and, shaft their own people, then they get the gun. They send in what he called the jackals. And they've done that at different places at times over the years, like in Panama and Guatemala. They assassinated some presidents that didn't go along with it. I think Brazil as well, maybe back during coming up through the 60s and 70s. And then, that pattern continued all the way up through Panama with Bush. That, Noriega didn't go along. They didn't send in the jackals. What they did there was they invaded the country. And regime change, that's the other option they have. So, I don't know if Putin is wanting to... Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
So quickly, the scuttlebutt on Panama, from what I... because I used to listen to tons of radio back in the day, you probably similar to me, Stephen. I don't know, how early you started to become awake by reading various periodicals or listening to FM radio. But yeah, I used to attend lectures now and then, and then also, watch the documentaries that came out on, Beta, and then later on VHS, before the discs came. But anyway, the scuttlebutt is that Noriega, a lot of banks in Panama were holding tons of money for all these various players, and that includes government and military players, as well as your run-of-the-mill, drug dealers and distributors, okay? So Panama was very friendly to, keeping and laundering a lot of this big money. But apparently there was quite a bit of pilferage going on, and they'd had enough. And so that's the main reason they went down and took out Noriega. Because Noriega was as corrupt as they come, and multiple documentaries have covered this. There's a great video called Panama Deception. Okay.
I had seen that. Yeah, I agree with you. That's, sorry. Please go ahead. That's correct. That's far all of that about Noriega.
There's a book that the title was changed because of the movie, I think. But the original title of the book was How I Made $100 Million in Cocaine and Then Lost It All. And then later on that was changed to Blow. Okay, so the movie Blow, with Johnny Depp played in that, was a pretty good movie, and it stayed fairly true to the book. Okay, and the guy that wrote the book, he documented it all, his rise. He started basically bringing in marijuana from Mexico, and started with vehicles, and then bought a plane, and then You know, he went all the way up. He bought a DC-3 and was flying in from Colombia bringing cocaine. And so this man literally, when he got out of, he did multiple jail stints. He stayed ahead of the law most of the time. But he thought he was going to be fine when he got out of jail this one time, and he went to go get his account in the Panama Bank because he had about $50 million in a bank in Panama, and it was almost all gone. So that's a firsthand testimony from that guy who wrote the book, How I Made $100 Million in Cocaine and Lost It All. And again, they changed that book to Blow. You can actually, there's a subtitle after the word Blow if you check out that book online. But it's an excellent read, by the way, if anybody wants to check it out. So there's always a story behind a story, and it's basically never what we're told. I guess that's the summation of that.
Thanks for bringing that up, Paul. That's the other side of what this guy Perkins was talking about. It's like the illegal drugs, money laundering, and weapons back and forth. Because during that time, they were supposedly not allowed to send weapons to the right wing rebels.
Yeah, it was not authorized.
With El Salvador, yeah. So they flew it in and out of Mena, Arkansas, and a lot of that. And that's the other side of this legal pressure that they put on them from the IMF. They're also eating the country out from inside. And of course, you know, the corruption allows all this to flourish, and they're sending in DEA agents just to, you know, basically direct operations, it seems. You know, that they come in and use that as an excuse as well, that they're going to do anti-narcotics operations there. It's just been instead of a war on drugs, it's a war on all of us using drugs as an excuse, the same way it is terror. And then even COVID and pandemics, it's just, yeah, that's ridiculous. I agree.
Well,
I'm glad
I'm
you brought
sure
that
so
up.
Much
yeah.
About, yeah, well, so I would highly recommend, if you haven't seen it, both of you, to see the documentary Cover Up. You heard of that one? Yeah, so Cover-Up was done probably in the early to mid-80s, I believe. I think it might have been right shortly after the so-called Iran-Contra hearings, where, you know, it came out that we were indeed, they actually admitted, Oliver North basically admitted, that we were flying down, you know, weapons and bringing back drugs. And, so the movie Cover-Up was actually narrated by Elizabeth Montgomery, if you recall. She played Bewitched. But it covers that, and there's a section in the movie in the documentary where they this guy Senator Inouye, he wanted to go into executive session because one of the people brought up one of the witnesses or somebody brought up the idea of this temporary suspension of constitutional rights for the Declaration of Martial Law, you know, and there was a government contingency for this, and you know, this has been banded back and forth for 30, 40 years, this, like, fear of, quote, martial law. But, you know, I contend that we're pretty much under martial law all the time. They just don't tell us. And this idea that's a war on us for the drugs, I would say, okay, that's a way of characterizing it, but not so much. It's basically just a war to keep their racket going, to keep their very profitable venture going, and it's a war on competition. I don't really think they care about us one way or the other, except that we keep buying what it is they're selling. And that includes, you know, not just product, but, you know, the information and the story. You know, they want us to buy their spin or their narrative.
We are just collateral damage.
Well, I hear
we're just collateral damage.
I hear the break music, gentlemen. Well, stick around, folks, and we'll be right back.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Anymore, Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
And we're back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting, and coming back from a thoroughly groovy Hawkwind bumper, I might add.
Far out, man. Yeah.
Here with Stephen Douglas Weitener and Paul in California as our additional special co-host back by popular demand. You know, I heard an update that, I mean, there are no airfields, even though you know, left in Ukraine that are usable, even though jets are being sent there. We're being told from the EU, which is rather unprecedented. Sunday had EU foreign policy chief Joseph Borrell announce EU nations would be providing fighter jets directly to the Ukrainian military. And again, this is the first time in history the EU has ever done anything like this. Apparently, it was supposed to happen very rapidly as well. In fact, one EU official said that some of these fighter jets would be flying in the skies of Ukraine, quote unquote, within the hour. I don't know how these fighter jets are possibly going to do any good. It turns out the Russians have already attacked and disabled. They're saying all the major military airfields held by Ukraine. And of course, a lot of Ukrainians trained military pilots are already dead. So they're saying, who's going to fly these fighters? Will European nations be supplying the pilots as well? Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I was going to react to that first. You know, my initial reaction is like, you know, you hear some guy talking big, telling stories, and you just go, yeah, blah, 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 blah. I don't really believe any of it. I've seen several really good videos on this, including one made by a man, an American living in Kiev, Also several really good articles about this with, in many cases, pictures and analysis. And let's face it, if you and I and other people have seen these fake news videos before where they actually expose what they show us on the news, and then they show us how, oh, here's what it really was, and it was like a shot from a movie or a studio. I saw this great video from these people, maybe Stephen has heard of it, maybe you have too, Richard, called Truth Stream Media. And on this Truth Stream Media, they're always going into, you know, the deep fake and the deep state and what it is they do and how they do it. And they showed a couple of clips of what was on the news, what they presented to us on the news, you know, different events. And then they showed it was actually a scene from a movie. They found the scene in the movie and it's the same scene. And they put it on the news. So these people, and we all know who these people are, that's correct, it's the Catholics, just like it's always been, making trouble. They lie all the time. They have complete and total control of the flow of information on media. Now, on the internet, they don't, okay, I'm sure they would love that. But in terms of what people consume, radio, television, newspaper, it's 100% control. You'll never get the truth from these people. That's why I get so pissed off when you get some of these shows and these hosts talking about, oh, Tucker Carlson, their own Fox News. You know what? When Fox News or Tucker Carlson does a show on what the ingredients are in the vaccine and how the injuries are keep piling up, or they do a show, for example, on the chemtrails in the sky, which we've been spraying with every damn day out here in California, right? When they do shows like that, then we can take the mainstream news or Fox News or any of these people seriously. But so far, what I've seen on Fox is nauseating. You know, it's basically beating the war drums. So the bottom line is I believe it's mostly theater. And what this guy said in Kiev, he said there's not only a complete misunderstanding of what's happening there, but it's a misrepresentation. The Russians don't want to destroy Ukraine, and they don't want to kill a bunch of Ukrainian civilians. And what they're doing is very targeted, very systematic, very strategic. You know, they're deliberately not attacking civilians or bombing cities. They want to take over and keep Ukraine intact, and they just want to replace the government. Now, this is his opinion. They want to replace the government and the power structure with, let's face it, it probably will be a puppet regime, the same thing that we do all the time. But they want to do it with a country that sits right next to them, that NATO and basically the hostile Jewish power structure has been maneuvering to cause a threat to Russia. So, you know, whatever they're doing, it's mostly probably taking care of business. And then also, I believe Putin just maybe got a cue, said, okay, this Canadian convoy thing is getting a little hot to handle, the USA convoy thing, the vaccine information's coming out. Cue the war, cue the invasion. Because things are building to a head, and now all of a sudden, what happened to all that stuff? It's like there, in my opinion, it's like there was a speaker in a park, a dynamic speaker talking about politics, and the next thing you know, there's a big fire next to where he's
talking.
All right, well, wait. Stephen, we got some pounding on there. I don't know if you could mute for us or something.
Oh, I'm party.
Something in the background.
Yeah, sorry.
There.
Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah, trying to stay on mute.
What, we hammer nails there?
Wow, I don't know how I can follow that, you know. But on both your behalves. Well, here, stick around, folks. We'll be back after the bottom of the hour.
I heard the music.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day. And in times of emergency, we have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are back, folks, beyond the official narrative. We're on RBN. Richard Carey here with co-hosts Stephen Douglas Weitener and Paul in California. Paul was just mentioning before the break that, Ukraine, ideally in Putin's mind, would be taken over without disturbing the infrastructure to continue business as usual, you know, and just install a puppet regime. But very much like the U.S. has, not quite how the U.S. Has, of course, Paul, because, I mean, come on, what about LGBT plus rights? You know, isn't this...
If I may just finish real quickly my thought here. So, you know, I got a little bit lost as we're coming up on the break, and Stephen was shoeing a horse there in the background. You know, what I was thinking...
I apologize. I thought I was muted. At least it wasn't the FBI.
Yeah. So I got this image in my mind. We've all seen films of, like, dynamic speakers at some kind of a political rally or a protest, right? And I got this image in my mind of a guy really, making a lot of points and making a great impassioned speech, you know, at some venue and lots of people there with signs and cheering them on. And then the next thing you know, next door to the location is a big building, and it's on fire. And everybody's, oh, look, there's a fire. It completely takes away the steam. I mean, imagine, you know, Martin Luther King making the, you know, I Have a Dream speech, and then all of a sudden the Washington Monument is on fire, right? It just takes completely away. It basically just, like, let the air out of the balloon. And that's what this thing has done with the whole, trucker protest in Canada and here, and the whole awakening. Because let's face it, it was everywhere. I mean, Twitter and Facebook and even YouTube couldn't take these videos down fast enough. I was seeing supportive videos on YouTube for the trucker movement and also exposing some of the vaccine issues. And, of course, it's all over BitChute and Odyssey and Rumble and all the places we always go. So this, like I said, it's almost as if on cue, this so-called war in Ukraine, which many people, not just me, are claiming is going to be a lot. Jim Fetzer's done some good work on this, too, saying it's mostly theater, but it's completely taken away and distracted from what is was happening with the kind of what I would call the awakening. I don't know if you'd call it the Great Awakening, but it's a palpable awareness of what has been done in the agenda. And I think the agenda is still there, ready to be re-released and pushed slowly but surely forward. Every store I go into, just about Lucky, Safeway, Rite Aid, they have on their musical loop with a nice, pleasant female voice encouraging you to get a vaccine. I've heard it multiple times in the last couple of weeks. They're still pushing the vaccine on the what I call the background music channel when you walk into these major supermarket chains.
Disgusting. I completely agree. I completely agree. This has been a very convenient distraction. All of the damage from the shots was starting to really come out, is really coming out right now. And, of course, all of the facts about how the lockdowns did nothing. I mean, it was even on Fox News where they said 0.2% change at best you could claim lockdowns did. And I bet not even that. So, I mean, basically nothing. It's obvious that this was going to spread worldwide with the protests. We have people already pulling back, but a lot more who aren't. And as long as at this point they can shift any focus away from these topics, it'll just, no matter how much comes out, I mean, most of the public will not hear about any vaccine, any shot damage.
And to maybe possibly jog your memory, Richard, but certainly I'm going to jog Stephen's memory here with the whole Gulf War syndrome. We all remember Joyce Riley and all the time that she spent on the radio talking about this, okay, and all the soldiers that came home. And they were vaccine injured, okay? I'm sure a few of them were chemically or so-called biologically exposed. But the majority, when you listen to some of these soldiers who called in and gave interviews, talked about all the shots they had to take, the shots they had to take before they went over there, and in many cases, the shots they had to take when they got there. They didn't have a choice. You got to take these shots. And, of course, what did this result in, right? AIDS-like symptoms, neurological issues, Guillain-Barré syndrome, on and on, the same thing over and over. We're living in the century or the century and a half of the Jewish needle. That's all this
absolutely.
Is.
We're living
under this medical, tyrannical government paradigm of you and your children must be injected by some poison through a, quote, a doctor, and it's a completely and totally Jewish agenda behind it, and it's out front now. All the major heads of these vaccine companies are Jewish. And in many cases, they know, because people are coming forward, so-called whistleblowers, they know it's poison. But, of course, the media and, like I said, the play loops on these stores are still telling you, oh, get the vaccine. It's the best way to protect yourself. It's an insane structure that's been erected against us, and there's only one way to deal with it. We got to wreck it.
I completely agree. You know, you mentioned the Gulf War syndrome. I remember in the late 90s, as Richard said earlier, my father was a World War II vet, one of Merrill's Marauders. And his generation, you know, they were starting to die at that time, you know, in the late 90s, the ones that fought there. But the death rate for Gulf War soldiers was higher than the death rate for World War II era veterans at the time when this Gulf War syndrome kicked in. I remember that being a very shocking statistic, and everybody also, just seemed to ignore it.
It's also been documented that the late 70s, early 80s had the hepatitis B vaccine releasing a lot of what was later diagnosed as AIDS. We both had Africa and New York bathhouses, especially, because I know the gay population in New York was specifically targeted, and in Africa. I think William Cooper's book details that pretty well.
Show. Most people don't don't do basic stuff like just type in definitions. So just go online. Anybody who's listening to this show, all the listeners, and then, of course, Stephen and Richard, if you want, just type in what is hepatitis or definition of hepatitis, and you'll see it's inflammation of the liver. So how can you take a shot to prevent inflammation of the liver? It's all BS. The whole medical system is completely devious and Jewish, and it's disgusting. And they try to disguise it with all the, oh, it's hepatitis B. Oh, hepatitis C. Oh, you know, it's insane.
Not just war is a racket, but medicine is a racket, food is a racket, everything is a racket for these people. It's just, well, and like you said, that I guess they just don't care about us. It's just the racket that matters. That's probably a good way to look at it, you know, that we're just collateral damage, as you were kind of saying earlier, that we always, I don't know, think a lot of ourselves, I guess, when I say it's the war on us, and they don't even consider us. They're miffed that poor people can have children. We're just roaches in their food, basically, and that's the kind of disdain that I see. And other people are starting to pick up that something's wrong. But it's taken me this long to really grasp that's how they see us, that they don't have the same point of view, you know, that they don't have the empathy for another human being that comes natural. And I'm talking about the ones in charge, the people and the heading the vaccine companies, making the decisions, you know, putting on this theater. And the war, I mean, a lot of these videos that you're getting, they've been videos from other wars. Like you said, it was all, it's not necessarily all from just a movie, but some's from a movie, some's from a video game. And then it's always miscredited videos that they're claiming is this. How will we ever trust I don't see how anybody could trust mainstream media ever again after during that first Gulf War. They were in the basement at CNN, and Charles Jaco and Earl Holman were down there pretending to be in Dahran under a missile attack when there were plastic palm trees beside them, you know, and they're joking in between takes. How do they ever expect anyone to take anything they say seriously again? I saw Christiana Amanpour on CNN recently before this whole thing started, and she had a map behind her that showed Kharkiv as an oblast of Russia, that it had already been taken over. It's like, okay, are they that stupid, or is this some kind of psyop? Probably both a little bit, I'd say. You know, both could be the case, but there's just that's enemy war transmissions. That's all that is. That's the way I look at the mainstream media. Richard, what?
And so you don't have as much, and I probably agree, you don't have as much confidence, or even before this war focus shift, the trucker protests in the U.S. I mean, I did hear an update on it, Paul, for what it's worth. The trucker convoy swells as it moves across the country to D.C. We're saying about 250 vehicles. Some join only for maybe a 30 miles or 200 miles if they're going the same direction for a bit and branch off. But it even has some cars, quite a bit of trucks. And, of course, they're putting the fences up again at D.C., at the Capitol, for the optics, of course, same January 6th sort of perception. So I found that amusing in itself. That's like they think the truckers are going to, just like what they claimed for January 6th, that was just, I have so much footage I downloaded that just shows how much the officers were complicit and a lot of suspicious agent provocateurs. But all of this war footage you gentlemen speak of, I did see that one clip claiming it from a video game, and it actually is from a video game, the one bit of footage they showed of some tanks rolling that Stephen referred to. Well,
So here's the question I have posed on other shows, and I'll pose it to you two, and I think you already know the answer by the way I'm going to ask the question. Despite all these trucker protests and all the support they get, and whatever it is they wherever they go, whatever it is they end up doing, if the same people are still in power, right, in these same vaccine corporations, which apparently are running the show now, essentially – you could argue that the vaccine companies have taken over for the banks. And therefore, what difference does it make? We get a temporary victory. Let's face it, it's like rolling a rock up the hill, okay? And, you know, we get a temporarily a reprieve or a rest, you know, from the agenda, but the rock is still going to be continued to roll uphill or down, however you want to look at it. And it's just like many people have made the observation of two or three steps forward and one step back. And we can't claim a victory because it's a one step back. I mean, there's only one victory to be had. And the bottom line is, sure, it's all good. Protest is good, you know, people uniting, you know, waking up. Okay, that's all good. But if the same systems are in place, these weaponized systems, the legal system, the banking system, the media, medical system, all these things have been weaponized against us. If they're all still in place, protests don't matter. So if they want to take those trucks and maybe run over a few fences, well, that's something. You know, if the Canadian truckers wanted to run up on the lawn and run into the Parliament building and, you know, grab a couple of, you know, these devious lawmakers that support Trudeau and, you know, toss them off the balconies with a rope attached to them, then that's going to do something. But other than that, it's just these people are going to regroup and come at us again. That's what they do.
I like that metaphor of pushing the rock up the hill like Sisyphus. There's this legend that somebody condemned Sisyphus to have to do that over and over again. But if we were able to get that rock to the top of the hill so it would roll down and crush this system on the other side, then we could claim a victory. I think maybe that would complete the metaphor for what you're saying, because as long as we just keep pushing that rock up the hill and it keeps rolling back on us, we're getting smushed more and more.
Well, you know,
but if it keeps going up, yeah, go ahead, Richard.
I would have to point out then that both sides being controlled by Jewish power are the reason why we can't get that boulder to the top. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, would you agree with that, Paul?
Well, of course. I mean, it's like this one article, a very good article on Renegade Tribune said, and others have made the similar point, is there's not really a good side to pick from in this current war. I mean, you could make the case that, okay, Ukraine should be independent, right? Because there's a lot of natural resentment of what happened in Ukraine with in the Bolshevik Revolution. These things are well documented. But, you know, Ukraine is taken over by, you know, the same group of people that's taken over here in Europe and other places. And, you know, one could make the case that, well, Russia is doing what they need to do. But at the same time, you know, tell me that Jewish power doesn't dominate Russia. You know, make the case to me that, you know, Jewish oligarchs and I mean, let's face it, we're the ones, the West, Britain and the United States, with our money and our skullduggery, we engineered the Bolshevik Revolution. That was us, right? And then we funded both sides of the war in World War I and World War II. Without American technology and money, Russia would have been crushed by Germany in a hurry. The only reason Russia had tanks and trucks was because of U.S. factory technology and essentially U.S. trucks. I mean, most of the Russian trucks were U.S. You know, designed and made. I mean,
what a lot of people don't know, Paul, is that we continued to support the Soviet Union in that manner, even during the Cold War. This guy Armand Hammer was sending, you know, technology, American technology, to the Soviet Union all during the Cold War, and then, you know, that finally ran out. It was a, you know, like you said, funding both sides of every war, including the Cold War.
Well, here, gentlemen, it seems we have a couple callers on the line for you both to respond to, interact with. First, we have Dave in New York. Hello, Dave.
Dave?
Yeah, hello, Steve. And, as I sent you an email, I was trying to gather some information, since you're the experts on this one, of how many people actually, how many of these, quote, Jewish people died in Germany during World War II in the camps? And what evidence do we have to tell us? Because I have no clue. I hear these huge numbers, and I saw a big pile of typhus people allegedly in a photo, and that's about.
Yep.
You know, that doesn't really prove anything to me exactly. But go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question, Dave. And wondered about that a lot and did research that over the years too. Initially, when I was in middle school, then some of my friends said, well, okay, if that's true, we said, so what? I mean, look at what's happening right now in Cambodia. One third of the whole country was being wiped out, but all you ever heard about was the quote unquote Holocaust and the camps. And this was back in the 70s, you know, in the mid 70s. And so that, myself during the 90s, I read David Irving's books, and you know the numbers that you can go by. I guess the Red Cross had a certain number of people who died in those camps, and it was nowhere near 6 million. I don't remember the exact number. Or Richard and Paul probably know these numbers better than me, but you know, and they're more the experts, I would say, on this than me. But yeah, it's a lot of misinformation. Yeah, and one other thing before I toss it, this that you said you saw those people who died of typhus. The typhus was very, very rampant in Europe at the time, due to the bombing that we were doing, and those gas chambers were to kill the lice so it didn't spread typhus. Those existed, but they weren't set up sufficiently where they would be able to kill people. You know, you just seal the door and stuff. Yeah. And go ahead. Yeah.
I actually have a couple other callers. This would be much better, Dave, for you to call with when I have I'm going to have back on the show again Fred Luchter and also Jim Rizzoli. And they're the best Holocaust revisionist experts, Holocaust debunkers.
I'm aware of your question for me, and I'll hopefully be able to listen back in if I missed. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
So just a quick addendum before we take the next call. It's logistically, it was impossible. So in other words, the amount of crematoria they had, the amount of time it takes to cremate a body, so on and so forth. The numbers were just completely absurd, and this can be easily found out.
Okay, well, thanks for the call. Yeah. And let's go to Joe in Florida. Hello, Joe.
Stephen and Paul, thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thanks for taking my call. I have just two really quick points, and I wanted to see what your reaction. I'm hearing more from the Washington neocons, right? And I guess it originated with Zelensky and his little band of Ukrainians calling for a no-fly zone. And this reminds me of that period in the mid to late 90s before they pulled the trigger on 9/11 when they were able to get a no-fly zone over Iraq. And that was kind of like their interim, action that they could do when they didn't have their pieces in play to do the 9/11 action, which they later did. So I think no-fly zones are very dangerous because essentially they're really going to war. They pretend that it's, we're not being involved, but it's really an act of war. I want to get your reaction on that. And then secondly, really quick, is I also have this theory, and I think Dr. Patrick Slattery kind of alludes to this. You know, Joe Biden is not actually making these neocons in the Democrat Party as happy as they want. I think there's some of them that are really upset with them. Because after all, if you look at Afghanistan, the fact is, whatever else you could say about this fool idiot person, he actually did pull out the troops. I mean, the withdrawal from Afghanistan did happen. And I think neocons in the Democrat Party are still angry about that. That's why I see I thought they were trolling us when they had the zombie war criminal Hillary show up. But I think there's a little space there for someone like her to move in, because I think these Democrat neocons actually are secretly upset with him not going far enough.
We're running out of time here. Let's quickly deal with both of these points from my point of view.
Thank you.
So we cannot enforce a no-fly zone. I don't believe that we have the ability. I think that this is right in Russia's wheelhouse. If you believe a lot of the stuff that's already been written and said online and elsewhere, that the Russians have either equal or superior technology to us, and I don't believe that we have the ability. I think it would be just a stage show and theater. I don't think that we would even try it, to be honest with you. And as far as any of these politicians that you're calling, you know, Democratic, neocon, these people have no agency. Nobody really believes Joe Biden is running anything, Nancy Pelosi, any of these people whose names you know. Okay, if you know their name as a politician, you can be sure they're not calling the shots. They're not doing anything. They're puppets on a stage. They're like scenery that can be shoved on or off the stage at whim. And this is beyond dispute, in my opinion. So we need pay no attention to whatever blather comes out of a politician's mouth. because the real people calling the shots are the ones that are setting up the stage show for us.
Okay, well, we have one last caller to try to fit in. Patrick in Texas. Hello, Patrick.
325,000 Red Cross numbers, and that syncs with all the rest of it. It's like, you know, we say in the West, attacked the Soviet Union and all that. It was actually, the Jews were well implanted. They've been here for a long time. FDR was Jewish, Cordell Hull, Harry Hopkins, Morgenthau. These people ran this country. And so, you know, we're not in charge here. Let's put it that way. With that, I'll bid you all a good day. Thank you.
Yep, that's true.
Well, Paul, your final thoughts for the day.
Final thoughts. Wow, I don't know if there's ever anything that's final, but. I had a little fun. I got a couple of rants out of me. There's more. I was actually going to talk about some movies I watched recently, and you can actually see the progress or the regression of the quality of movies in this country, you know, produced and for our consumption by you-know-who. But we'll save that for another day. Thanks for having me again, Richard. And I hope everybody out there just tries not to pay too much attention to the theater around us and enjoy your day as best you can.
I know you said you should be able to join on Friday, right? If we do a roundtable?
I believe so, yeah. That should be okay.
All right, well, look forward to some of that perhaps later this week. All right, thanks for being here. And Stephen, you as well. Any last thought?
Yeah, thanks for being here, Paul. That was great. Did a great job. I look forward to Friday. It's always a good high energy show when you're around. Thanks a lot for being here. Yeah.
thanks for saying so, and I enjoy hearing you on the radio as well, and mm-hmm. being on with you is a pleasure. I appreciate it, and as long as Richard continues to introduce me the way he does, then we're good. recently released from quarantine.
There you go.
Brilliant. Well, you gentlemen.
Take it easy on the boosters, Paul. You might have a booster problem there.
I want to encourage everybody to spice up their booster with a little cayenne pepper.
Thanks, y'all. This was fun. Y'all be good to each other.
Thank you, gentlemen. Again, thank you to the listeners. Please support RBN to continue all of this uncensored broadcasting. And we will speak again soon. Stick around for Patrick Slattery with National Bugle Radio. And transcend the construct. Regards.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.